We don't need $1.2 trillion. That's how much we spent in a year on what the Wall Street Journal calls non-essentials. In the stuff we don't need category are pleasure boats, jewelry, booze, gambling, and candy. That amounts to 11.2% of total consumer spending, and that is up from 9.3% 10 years ago. Bill Fitka, Fox News Radio.
The U.S. is close to reaching its borrowing limit, and the debate continues about whether or not to raise it from $14.3 trillion.
I will vote no on raising the debt ceiling unless we have comprehensive, dramatic, and broad-based cuts to federal spending, including the reform of entitlement spending.
Illinois Republican Senator Mark Kirk. Meantime, Connecticut Democrat Senator Richard Blumenthal says doing nothing would be bad for the economy.
Unequivocally, yes, we will raise the debt ceiling because the alternative, as every expert economist agrees, would be catastrophic.
Both appearing on CBS's Face the Nation. I'm Brett Larson, Fox News Radio.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound?
Good evening. Welcome to Sovereign Minds. We are live tonight, April 24th, 2011. Warnings of our forefathers. We'll be presenting quotes and dissecting the meaning of the writings in early American history and throughout time. And as you will hear, this is not what our forefathers had intended. With me I have Mark Kent. How you doing, Mark?
Good. How you doing, Nate?
Not too bad. Mark here is a veteran of the Marines.
No, Army.
Army, and you're NOM?
Oh, no.
My bad.
I stayed stateside.
Oh, there you go. You're also an expert survivalist, right?
That's true. Absolutely. I've been doing survival since I was 13, 14 years old. I started hunting. And from there, it just kind of escalated in, got really into the Y2K early on, a false alarm to a degree. But at the same time, it sure did give me a warning shot over the bow that, maybe we weren't as prepared as we thought we should be or were or should have been. So, with that, it kind of started me looking into these other things that are going on as well with the economy later on. And, you know, being in finances for 30 years, I have started out preparing taxes and then got into, planning and strategies and then into banking as well as far as analyzing the whole system. So anyway, that's kind of my background.
Yeah. And you're also part of the Tea Party.
That's absolutely true as well. I'm a card-carrying member. We don't have cards, though. We just,
Yeah, the Tea Party, I'd like to mention, though, it's every Monday, 6 p.m. at the South Bonneview Church.
Yep, Bonneview Baptist.
Yeah, and I definitely suggest everybody get there because Erin Ryan does really good things, and she's bringing a lot of information, especially the surrounding our immediate area.
Well, we've got a group of people over there that are just fantastic. I mean, Aaron and Elizabeth and Terry and Sally and, I could just go on and on and on. But, all those guys are great, Bill. They put on so much good information. If you're not showing up, you're just missing out on a lot of good things that could help you out as we go along. So,
and you also teach a class afterwards, right?
Right. We teach survival. I teach a class of survival and preparedness. And, that's an extensive thing because when we talk about survival and preparedness, the first thing we think of is being lost in the jungle someplace or on a deserted island. Well, survival and preparedness could be that, but it can also be a lot of other things. It could be financial disasters, natural disasters. It could be a fire, flood, all kinds of different things. So it's a very expansive subject. So we've tried to cover the bases on all those. I actually specialize in financial survival, which in my opinion is coming to the forefront at this point, whether we like it or not.
So, yeah, it's definitely our immediate threat.
Absolutely. In fact, I was just looking on the internet tonight, and it appears that the Chinese are getting ready to dump our bonds or our treasuries. And so If the Chinese are going to, you know, not buy our treasuries anymore, and the Japanese are not going to buy our treasuries anymore, who's going to buy our treasuries? And that kind of leads us into our quotes here, because the only one left to buy our treasuries is the Federal Reserve.
And they're doing that, too.
And if the Chinese and Japanese, obviously the Japanese have stopped and the Chinese aren't going to do any more, there's only that, they're it. And so that is going to be a problem, because if they, you know, get, where do they get their money from to buy these treasuries? How do you buy, you know, several trillion dollars or $800 billion worth of treasury bonds? You know, what, you just, you know, pull that out of thin air?
Yeah, print it, right?
Yeah, you just print it, you know, and that's good. And
yeah, what's going to happen when China, you know, they have over $1 trillion of our debt. What's going to happen when they bring that back, and when India does the same, and like you said, Japan and all the other countries that have our debt? I mean, talk about hyperinflation overnight.
That's exactly what I think we're in for here, whether we like it or not. You know, I think that the bonds, you know, people see the interest on the bonds going on down, and it looks like we might be going into recovery, but it's a false recovery. There's no underlying fundamentals there. So, you know, we've been trying to get everybody prepared for this. And, you know, so when we go through these quotes, we've got so many of these quotes throughout history. It's absolutely unbelievable. You know, the first one I got is Voltaire here, and it goes back to, you know, this is, he was born in 1694 and died in 1778, and he said, and this is his quote, paper money eventually returns to its intrinsic value, which is zero. And when we talk about paper money, we're talking about fiat currency, which is exactly what we have in the United States. Ever since Nixon severed our currency from the gold standard, it has no backing, and that's kind of the Pandora's box point, where they started just printing money to cover the deficit spending of the government. So, you know, it's a problem.
Right, and like we said, we have so many quotes that we're going to read off for you guys that they've warned us and they've told us, and we've actually fought. I mean, that was what the Revolutionary War was about. Ben Franklin, that's what he said, was the war was about.
Oh, have you got that quote? Because I'm looking right at it.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, it's a great quote. Uh-huh. I just found this quote the other day. I didn't even know that this was
powerful.
It's a great quote, yeah. The refusal of King George to operate an honest colonial money system which freed the ordinary man from the clutches of the manipulators was probably the prime cause of the revolution. The colonies gladly would have borne a little tax on tea and other matters had it not been that England took away from the colonies their money, which created unemployment and dissatisfaction. Holy cow, does that sound familiar?
And he was also asked overseas when he went to France, how are these colonies doing so well over there? And he said it's because they have their own currency,
yeah,
and it's not not taxed or not charged interest.
Yeah, when we talk about currency, they had real money, which is gold and silver coins. You know, you might have scrip that you would pass around to make it easier to transport the gold and silver coins. You're not lugging around gold and silver coins in your pocket, but it had to be backed by silver or gold coins, which made gave the person who was holding the scrip the ability to, upon demand, get his gold or silver from wherever it was being stored at. So,
right, go to a bank and just, here you go, I want this much in my gold back.
Absolutely. So that's the big problem here, is that when Nixon severed us from the gold system in 1971, we were the world reserve currency. So all of the other countries were pegged to our dollar, pegged to gold through our dollar. When he did that, it was, again, it's like Pandora's box. All of us, simultaneously, all of the currencies that were connected to our dollar became worthless paper fiat currencies, and thus the first quote of the intrinsic value, it goes to zero as soon as people lose confidence in the currency, which,
like,
is happening.
Just like that $1 trillion bill that you have that you showed
yeah,
us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, you can get those on eBay for $5, no shipping, from Zimbabwe. And, you know, they had a recent hyperinflation in 2008. And, mm-hmm. you know, it started out with a dollar. If you could buy a cup of coffee with a dollar, Zimbabwe dollar, by the end of their hyperinflation, which was a little over a year, it took $100 trillion Zimbabwe note to buy a cup of coffee. After a while, nobody would even take them, you know, and that's why you could, you know, you could see pictures and photographs of the streets lined with these things on the billboards.
Wallpaper.
People, wallpaper, burning them. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we have a special guest on the phone tonight with us. His name is Sheriff Mack, and he is, he's been on the forefront of trying to protect this Constitution and this government. And if anybody has a unique viewpoint, it's him, obviously, being a sheriff in Arizona. So he knows where it's coming from, the power. So, Sheriff Mack, are you with us?
I'm here, but I can't hear you very good. I apologize. I'm outside the airport, and it's kind of noisy, but I should be picked up here in a minute, and it should clear up, but I apologize once again for the background.
Oh, that's not a problem. So what's new in your world?
I did hear you talking about the dollar and
yes.
and paper money and China, and I've said this over and over. China can devalue our dollar tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And that we have allowed China so much power over our economy is absolutely unforgivable, astonishing, and counterproductive to anything that's American.
Right. They're buying up all infrastructure. They're buying all our debt. So do you see them trying to attempt anything, or what do you see China as a threat to us, or what?
Wait. Say that again. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just saying with China, what's your take on the future for us?
Well, we're headed for very soon. There's no way that we can avoid it. I believe that. Well, I am far right. I believe that it's irreversible at this point. There's no way that we cannot have a major collapse.
I'm in agreement with you, Sheriff Mack. I think that it is inevitable. They've gone too far. And, you know, and I'll kind of stay on our little quote thing here a little bit. And this is what Lenin said. Lenin said Lenin is to have declared that the best way to destroy the capitalist system was to debauch the currency. Lenin was certainly right. There's no subtler, no surer means of overturning the existing basis of society than to debauch the currency. The process engages all the hidden forces with economic law on the side of destruction and does it in a manner that one man in a million can diagnose. So that's our problem.
Regrettably, he knew what he was talking about in a lot of ways, and he's one of the most ruthless dictators, communist dictators in world history. But he didn't get there by being stupid.
Absolutely.
And he knew what he was talking about there. And if you look at what we have done in America by abdicating the congressional responsibility to coin money and regulate the value thereof, in essence, what they did is they assigned this to private bankers, international bankers, and they're not even American bankers. Some are, but most of them are just international bankers. And if you look at the what's happened to the dollar since the inception of the Federal Reserve, that's easy. Any junior high school student could look at the history. What has happened to the dollar since 1913 when we formed the Federal Reserve? The value of the dollar has gone down 95%.
I think it's actually higher. And, I was looking at a thing the other day, and they were estimating 98%. So, yeah, it's even worse than that.
Yeah, okay. It's probably 98. Well, it was 95% 3 weeks ago. It's probably 98
I think
now,
it's 98 now, yeah.
But see, this is just another symptom of our Congress that has absolutely no clue what it's doing, has absolutely no desire to keep their word to uphold and defend the Constitution. They do not care about American ideals. They do not know, they have absolutely no clue what they're doing. And, isn't it amazing that, a podunk, dumb little sheriff from Arizona, knows more about the economy than our own Congress.
Right, and they have no backbone either. And now you even see that they, with Obama not coming to Congress for approval to go to war with Libya, you know, it seems like they're trying to bypass Congress altogether now, because obviously...
Well, it's not a war, you see. It's just it's just kinetic movement. And you see, when you bomb people with $1.5 million...
Hellfire missiles, yeah.
It's not really a war. You're just killing people with war implements. It's not really a war.
Oh, okay.
You see, and he has to, the last four or five presidents have to make up excuses like that to say it's kinetic or it's not, it's a police action or all this other stuff. or they would be admitting to the American people that they have violated the Constitution, which they have done, obviously. So they have to try to, you know, make up stories about how it's not really a war.
Right. Yeah, here's another quote, obviously, from a great, great president, Thomas Jefferson. Our peculiar security is in the possession of our of a written constitution. Let us not make it a blank paper by construction. And so I think that's what they're doing. They're constructing all these different laws to rewrite our constitution. And what we really need to do is get back to our former ideals. And, yeah, just like you said, Article 1, Section 10, we need to coin our own money. And the interest is the burden on our country, interest on our money.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have to pay somebody to print our money. We should just do it ourselves for free. But, you know, we haven't. We delegated it to a private group of offshore bankers, and they've been attacking this country for a long time. You know, this is our fourth Federal Reserve system, basically. This hasn't been called the Federal Reserve, but this is the fourth time that they've...
Central Bank.
Right, yeah. Fourth central bank, yep. That's been instituted in this country. But I would just like to know, what are you doing? What's new for you, Sheriff Mack? What are you working on now, and is there anything that we can do to get the word out for you?
Yeah, actually, that would be great. I'm moving to Texas May 9th with my wife, and we're moving to Fredericksburg, Gillespie County, and the Patriots there have donated some money to put me in an office and to make sure that we're taking this constitutional sheriff concept and the state sovereignty concept to the next level. We're going to do it faster, bigger, better, and we're going to vet every sheriff in this country. And we're going to do a national convention with about 150 to 200 sheriffs all across the country, sheriffs from all across the country. And we're actually trying to raise money for that very event. We're going to pay for the sheriffs to come to the convention. We're going to pay their airfare. We're going to pay their hotel and their meals. So that all they have to do is say, yes, I'll come. All they have to do is get on the plane. We're not going to ask them or their taxpayers to pay for this. We're trying to get the people of this country to stand up and pay for this. It's probably the most important meeting we could have since the signing of the Constitution, because we're going to have these sheriffs devise a new declaration to the federal government. We're going to have these sheriffs devise a new plan of attack that we are going to implement nationwide, so that all sheriffs agree that this is something that we ought to be doing and trying.
Silver Titan, going to be over on the left.
And we're going to make sure it happens. And so that's why we hope that everybody will jump on board with us.
Next row, turn on the
And if we raise the money for this, this thing's going to happen in a matter of weeks. And I'm actually going to California, Ontario this coming week. And my wife and daughter are going with me, and we're going to have a big fundraiser over there, and we're going to make this happen. And we're sure looking for everybody who can to get on board with us.
Do you have a
we
place
need the
to
donations? And you can see all this on my website.
Yeah. Go ahead. Well,
and,
what's your website?
It's all ready to go. So that you can go to sheriffmack.com, and then you can see the link to CSPOA, Constitutional Sheriff and Peace Officer Association.
Since you're going to be in California, any chance we can get you to come up here and have a fundraiser?
We want to have them all over the country.
Well, you're more than welcome in Reading, and we have a big Tea Party that would love to hear you.
Yeah, absolutely. We would love to get you at the Tea Party meeting.
Yeah, let's do it. And absolutely.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So we'll do. I'll call you later, and we'll talk about that. We have a decent sheriff in our county, and I think you'd be really susceptible to your message. And just for people, just so they understand, can you explain what power the sheriff actually yields in their county?
Well, it's really a bottom line deal of just simply looking at the oath of office that the sheriff takes, and that the sheriff is the only law enforcement official in the county or in this country who is elected by, for, and of the people. So he's not a bureaucrat. He doesn't answer to a bureaucrat. And he is therefore responsible to the people to be their protector. You can look at the job of the sheriff going back over 1,000 years, that he is the protector, that he is the people's servant in keeping the peace. And when you look at that responsibility, the sheriff really has promised the people that he would protect them from the wolves. And it really matters very little, makes no difference whatsoever, if some of the threats come from wolves from government or from Washington, D.C. And so there we are, stuck with the position of the sheriff as being one of constitutional propriety and of a protector and a sworn protector of the people, and his power is right from the people. He's the only police officer or peace officer who reports directly to the power source, and that's we the people.
Right. So they can kick out any federal agency they want, right, of each county.
Well, I have to show you, I should have sent you a letter from Sheriff Glenn Palmer in Grant County, Oregon. He just wrote a letter to the U.S. Forest Service telling them that they were no longer welcome in his county. He told them to stay in John Day, which I think is the county seat, and he told them that he would not renew the intergovernmental agreement. He told them they had no authority and by virtue of Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution. And I'll give you a little side note on this. Sheriff Glenn Palmer was the first sheriff in the United States to have the Sheriff Mac Constitution training for his entire department.
Hmm.
And that was about 8 years ago. And that's another thing I do. You asking me what I do. I teach this Constitution class and the power of the sheriff and state sovereignty solution to sheriffs and police officers and peace officers all across the country. And we've done that quite a bit lately.
Wow, that's interesting. Are you still giving these classes to the sheriffs across the country? Is this going to be part of the donations? Is that what this is for?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, absolutely. Yep.
Oh. Well, I'd like to read another one from Abraham Lincoln, because this show is going to be about the bankers, and I believe that's our immediate threat and our basic threat. And he says, "I have two great enemies, the Southern Army in front of me and the financial institutions in the rear. Of the two, the one in my rear is my greatest foe."
That's a great one.
Man, was he ever right about that? I mean, Lincoln did some horrible things during the Civil War. He made some huge mistakes. But he kept saying some really great things during that time, and that certainly was one of them. Another one was his quote about Prohibition. And I have that actually in one of my books, that Prohibition makes laws or makes crimes out of things that aren't crimes at all. And it puts government in a position of attempting to control a person's appetite and habits. And you can just see this, how far gone and how far off our country is. But I will agree with you. The greatest immediate threat to America is the Federal Reserve. And basically, you can just boil it down to the UN and to the federal government. Those are the greatest threats to God-given constitutional American liberty. And if anybody, I don't even want you to believe me, just maybe consider that what I'm saying might have some basis. And I want you to I want every listener to prove me wrong. Show me how I'm wrong. Show me where I'm wrong. And for God's sakes, prove it to me and come on this show and prove it. But I can offer the proof on what I'm saying, and a lot of this is in my books.
Yeah, I actually started going after this stuff myself to prove that it was just a big bunch of hooey. And the more I got into it, the more my eyes started opening up. And, you know, like, you know, me and Nate have been, you know, pulling out quotes here the last few days. And we're kind of having a quote war here a little bit. It's been interesting. But as we go along, it just becomes so obvious throughout history that this has been known as a problem and as a real big problem. I mean, I'm going to give you a quote here. This is Sir Josiah Stamp, who was
Let me interrupt you real quick. Make sure you email me all those quotes, okay?
I can give them
to you. I'm in the middle of doing a new book called The Magic of Gun Control. And I have a lot of this stuff in there about the Federal Reserve, but I want more quotes because
we've got pages.
Is going to do that.
I got about a half a book here in front of me right now. So,
I mean, check this one's from Thomas Jefferson. This is really, really telling. It says, if the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations which grow up around them will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their forefathers conquered. I mean,
yeah, I'm familiar with that one.
Yeah,
I still need that one too. I think I might already have that one in my book. But
let me give you this Josiah Stamp one. Let me give you this Josiah Stamp one. He was the president of the Bank of England in the 1920s, and he was at the time the second richest man in Britain. Banking was conceived in inequity and born in sin. The bankers own the earth. Take it away from them, but leave them the power to create deposits, and with the flick of the pen, they will create enough deposits to buy it back again. However, take it away from them, and all the great fortunes like mine will disappear, and they ought to disappear, for the world would be happier and better world to live in. But if you wish to remain slaves of the bankers and pay the cost of your own slavery, let them continue to create deposits.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so even the bankers do. And there's a direct relationship between private property ownership and freedom. And what this really does is it gives these guys the ability to take your property away from you through the monetary system.
And it used to be life, liberty, and the pursuit of property. That's how the Constitution was originally written. And then they changed it to pursuit of happiness. But, yeah, that's where it is. It's if the government owns your property, then what do you have? What can you have as a... as a citizen. So, yeah, we'll definitely, we're going to take a break right now, and then we'll come back in 2 minutes, and then if there's anything that you want to talk about, Sheriff Max, specifically, let us know. But if not, we're going to continue with just bringing out a whole bunch of quotes from our forefathers and everybody else throughout history warning about money and bankers and interest on money. So when we get back, we'll return with this. This is Sovereign Minds, the home of Free Fire Media.
And pieces scattered on the newsroom floor. Sometimes they'll tell you to just let go when you're sure you should hold on tight.
Fancy is as fancy does. Village Maps of America presents An Evening with Merle Haggard, An Elegant Affair, May 5th, 2011, at the historic Red Bluff State Theater. This amazing opera house will carry the legendary country singer's voice to new heights. This show is a once-in-a-lifetime event. Be sure to get your tickets now. A live auction will precede the Merle Haggard Show. Get your tickets in Reading at Tobacco and Brew or Enjoy Magazine, or in Red Bluff at Crossroads Feed and Supply or Sparrow Fine Arts. See you there, and remember, fancy is as fancy does.
Psych Talk, psychology for everyday life, brought to you by National University. Join me, Katie Cundy, registered marriage and family therapist intern, every Saturday at noon. Each week, I will introduce you to the North State's top mental health professionals. Join me as I explore current research and local resources that will help you and your family reach their full potential. Psych Talk, every Saturday at noon, right here on KCNR 1460.
Joe, technician from SafeLight Auto Glass.
My last customer was a busy mom with lots to do until she noticed a big crack in her windshield. She didn't want to drive with her baby in that car, so she scheduled online at SafeLight.com. No one makes replacing a windshield easier. Plus, she loved how SafeLight emails a photo of the technician, so she knew who was coming to her house and how soon.
Call 1-800-800-2727 or go to SafeLight.com.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
Do you dream of a platinum wedding, but the reality is you're working with a bronze budget? Then join us for Bridal Talk on KCNR 1460 AM. You'll find the latest tips and information from the area's best wedding industry professionals who really understand how to make your dreams of the perfect wedding a reality in spite of the current economy. And be sure to register for home entertainment products at Clyde's Next Generation, your brand source home entertainment store located in the Shasta Center behind Cool Hand Luke's in Reading.
Bridal Talk, Sundays from noon till 1 on KCNR 1460.
You better get up, you better get out, you better get up and turn your life around. You only live once, you better act now, cause you never know when it's gonna come back around. Yeah, a heart like a lion.
Welcome back to Sovereign Minds. We have Mark Kent with us. On the phone we have Sheriff Mack, and we're talking about banks. And we're talking about our country, and we're talking about the Constitution.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Gold. Gold.
Freedom, yeah.
Silver.
Gold and silver is freedom. And Sheriff Mack, we have people online, they're just saying, yes, but what do we do now? So what would you suggest to preserve anybody's wealth they might have, anything they could do to get prepared possibly?
Okay, well, that is a real good question, and I've heard people ask that a lot. First of all, I get my food storage from freezedryguy.com, and I highly recommend his products. He actually has meat, real meat, freeze-dried meats that store 25 to 30 years, maybe longer. They taste great. I'm not talking about tofu. I'm talking about chicken, beef, pork, real meat. He's got foods that taste really good. I get about $300 to $350 every month delivered to my home. I put it in storage.
Good stuff.
And you've got to understand that when the economy falls, the most valuable thing you can have is food. I believe that this collapse is going to create extreme food shortages to where the only food you will be able to consume is that what you get from your own home. And I'm not trying to be a doomsayer. I'm just saying you need to be prepared. And even if nothing goes wrong, these foods are excellent. They're very nutritional. And you need to start looking at serious food storage for you and your family. The next one is you need to have some gold and silver. I know gold is very expensive. I can't afford very much gold. But I have been buying silver the last, 4 or 5 years, and, have increased it during the last year. And, the way silver has gone up recently, it's, very astonishing. It quite honestly, the high rise of gold and silver, especially silver, is a little bit scary.
Yeah, you know, on the silver front, it's actually only about a little over a dollar now, of its all time high. That was done in 1980, 82. So it's been going up dramatically.
And that one was fabricated by the Hunts in Texas.
There's a lot to that story.
Yeah, exactly. There is. But this time, I believe that the powers that be cannot stop this. And I think they wish they could, but this is going to be devastating to the Federal Reserve and to the international bankers, and this is now allowing common ordinary people to beat the system.
I think you're
and
right.
So I still recommend that, and you definitely should have guns and ammunition stored
also,
up.
Yes.
And you have to have a clean water source. So if you have well water, you still have to make sure that you can keep it clean, and you need to have access to a clean water source, and I am not talking about the city water and utility water that you have at your home now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you probably don't even want to be drinking that because they're putting in chemical agents into that, you know, so.
Yeah, of course. They always have, and it's still astonishing that government thinks it can put fluoride in your water for you.
Yeah. I think a lot of people don't. I think a lot of people don't understand how an economic collapse could lead to what we're talking about here with the food and the water. And I think that we need to go into that just a little bit because the I don't. A lot of people don't see the connection. If the dollar collapses or whatever, how does that stop the food from you know being in the stores and water and so forth? I mean, what's the connection there?
Well, you're seeing it. You're seeing it a little bit right now. Even Bill Clinton, of all people, warned that there are already food shortages in third world countries, and we're going to see more riots. We're already seeing riots
in India,
in several countries.
Yeah.
And but the thing of it is, when the economy collapses, you can't move food from one place to another, and people can't go out and work, and farmers aren't going to be able to go out and plow and cultivate their crops.
Yeah,
and,
plus,
so it's just going to stop. It's going to stop, and the trucking industry is going to stop, and that's the way we get food to places like Los Angeles and Las Vegas. And that's another thing you don't want to be. You do not want to be in a major metropolitan area when the economy goes south, and the dollar is already showing signs that this is going to happen. The rapid rise of silver is another sign that this is going to happen. So if the money doesn't exist, it's going to be just like the Great Depression. But I believe, and again, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but if you look at history and you look at what's going on right now, the Great Depression is going to pale in comparison to what's coming. And it's going to make the Great Depression look like kindergarten because there's just not going to be any way for people to get food, and we have so many more people now throughout the world and in America, and it's just going to be impossible to keep everybody fed, and that's going to really cause a lot of chaos and riots, and it's not going to be pretty for America or the world. And so I mean again, don't believe me, look it up for yourself, and do the best you can for you and your family. I highly recommend freezedryguy.com.
Yeah, we had a caller actually, and she was she's going to your website now, and she really wants to buy your book when it comes out. So that's great. And I think
oh yeah, thanks. Yeah, it should be out pretty quick. In fact, we're probably going to do pre-orders here within the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Great. I think just food's going to be unaffordable. You see prices going through the roof, and then when people have these useless dollars, they're not going to be able to go spend it. And also,
Well, you already compared it to Zimbabwe, right?
Right, absolutely. In the Weimar Republic,
have you ever held $20 trillion in your hand?
Yeah, I have $100 trillion bill.
Okay, good. Well, you have a Zimbabwe $100 trillion.
I do. Yeah, I got that in off of eBay, $5, no shipping, with a couple other ones, and I was bragging around the office that I'm a trillionaire now. So I expect some respect.
But it's kind of hilarious. But the thing of it is, you mentioned it right. If you have paper money, not backed by gold and silver, then it's going to happen sooner or later. People are going to realize that you have paper in your hand and not money. Yeah, and it's already been called a Federal Reserve note for the last 30 years, 40, maybe, no, about 50 years. It's already been called a Federal Reserve note. Well, what's a Federal Reserve note? Well, a note is a promise to pay. It's not money. It's more debt. And that's all we've done, is add more debt on top of more debt. What we have done, if your wife came to you and said, "Oh, honey, guess what? I just paid off all the credit cards." And you say, "Well, how'd you do that?" And she says, "I took out 10 more credit cards and paid off all the other credit cards." So we had 5 credit cards and you paid them all off with 10 more credit cards. Yes, aren't you happy? That's exactly what the Obama administration is doing now. And we can't even pay the interest on our debt with
Absolutely.
More debt. It is so stupid that the American people have accepted this as being okay.
Let me make
it's
another
not okay
connection
if
here.
We're not going to be okay.
Let me make another connection here so we can maybe get this out. I wanted to read 3 things here and kind of link them together so we understand the connection and why this paper money is a problem. The right of distribution over private property is the essence of freedom, is one quote. And then Daniel Webster goes into this and he says, "No other rights are safe where property is not safe. Of all of the contrivances devised for cheating the labor classes of mankind, none has been more effective than that which deludes him with paper money. We are in danger of being overwhelmed with irredeemable paper. Mere paper represents not gold or silver, no sir. Represents nothing but broken promises, bad faith, bankrupt corporations, cheating creditors, and ruined people. Now, the last one I want to read is Greenspan. The abandoned, this is Alan Greenspan. He did this treatise in 1967.
Yeah, he was the... with director of the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, he was director of the Federal Reserve.
Before Bernanke.
Absolutely. And the abandonment of a gold standard made it possible for the welfare status to use the banking system as a means of unlimited credit expansion. In the absence of a gold standard, there is no way to protect the savings from confiscation through inflation. There is no safe store of value. Deficit spending is simply a scheme for the hidden confiscation of wealth. Gold stands as a protector of property rights. This is the shabby secret of the welfare statist tirades against gold. Deficit spending is simply a scheme for hidden confiscation of wealth. Gold stands in the way of this insidious process. It stands as a protector of property rights. If one grasps this, one has no difficulty in understanding the statist antagonism towards the gold standard. Silver would also be there.
Yeah, and I see silver.
Right. Now that you're speaking about gold, what's the first thing you think of when you think of United States gold? Well, Fort Knox.
Yeah.
Ask your viewers or ask your listeners, ask everybody you know. Call your congressman or your United States senator and ask him for an accounting of the money that's supposed to be in Fort Knox.
Yeah, Ron Paul's been trying to get that audited for quite some time, and they can't seem to get her done. Yeah.
Well, just ask them, okay, then tell us how much is there. Because we all know it's gone. But just let's do an investigation. I would love to be part of that investigation. See where the gold has gone. We used to have a bunch in there just 20 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, and now... there's probably hardly any in there, if any at all.
There's hardly any silver as well. You can go to the USGS site, and the strategic stockpile of silver, according to the government itself, is listed as none on silver. We can't find out about the gold yet.
Well, it's really scary, and when you look at all of that, and when the people finally wake up and see that their gold from Fort Knox has been robbed by their own government, boy, howdy.
Yeah, there's not going to be some happy campers out there,
and
that's for sure.
And that's what I see. I see all these billionaires that are printing all this money, but then they're turning around when that dollar is still, they're spending that dollar when it's still worth that. You know, it hasn't gotten inflated yet, but then they turn around and buy the gold and the silver.
That's what they've been doing, and that's been a reversal of policy by the Federal Reserve and central banks, the International Monetary Fund and the Bank of International Settlements. They've started buying the gold back where before they were selling it, because they can see the collapse of the dollar coming as well.
And you want to hear another sign?
Sure,
absolutely.
This is a telltale sign. Look at how many currencies now that have never been more valuable than the American dollar, and I'm talking about the Canadian dollar, it is now worth more than the American dollar, and that hasn't happened. I don't think it's ever happened.
Yeah, I think that's why we used to be called the gold standard of currencies.
Yeah. But the Canadian dollar is now about 25, maybe 30 cents more than the American dollar, and it used to be just the opposite. And it used to be you could buy... for 60 cents, American dollar, pennies, you could buy $1 in Canada. And that was just maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, I went up
and
there.
Now,
I was going to say, I went up there and went skiing 20 years ago up at Whistler, and I had a $100 bill, and I bought a very nice ski jacket that was, you know, over $100 American for like $60 Canadian. So it was point it was about 60 cents on the dollar.
Yep. And now I hesitate to give an exact, but it's about 25 maybe to 35 cents the other way. So that has moved about 80 cents and it's been very recent. Most of that move has been the last 2 or 3 years, it's just so frightening to see everything happening in front of our face, and nobody gets it.
Right. Let's see. They don't get it, and that's why we're here trying to wake people up. And it's not It's not conspiracy. It's nothing. It's nothing. Like you said, go try to prove this wrong. And that's how I did it. I said, this can't be right. And I said, whoa. I mean, the information you'll come up with, it's there. It's obtainable. It's not, you don't have to go dig deep at all. The research has been done. The people that, like yourself, I mean, these are credible people. It's not just these tinfoil hats, like they want to say, you know, they just want to brush it off like that really easily. But no, this is a huge problem. And speaking of Congress, in 1913, when the 17th Amendment, 16th Amendment, Federal Reserve Act, everything was in place, that's when we lost power, is when the Senate went to a general election instead of answering to the state. And now they're just kind of go to Washington, and the people tend to forget. So, to me, the Senate needs to get put back in its place, and I believe
be elected by the states, right, as opposed by the people.
Because, I think if we could do that, like, then I think we could get back on the right track. But now it's the Congress, the representatives, House of Representatives, they'll pass something, and then the Senate will say no. That immediately would get them fired. Before 1913, we'd recall them back from Washington and say, we're putting somebody else in that's going to do what we're, you know, the people want. So,
if you want to see the farce known as the political all-star wrestling match in Washington D.C., just look at the farce they did with the budget. They supposedly cut what, $38 billion?
Yeah.
that wasn't even 1%, and then they're going to still raise the debt ceiling. And when all is said and done, after they do that, it's just going to be a few million dollars here and there. We still have seen no leadership in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. continues to make itself look such like a joke, and these ridiculous politicians are going to come to us and say, look what I did. I'm a hero. Re-elect me. And these people have been doing nothing but lying and stabbing us all in the back. And I'm so amazed at this process, but I still will call it the all-star wrestling match between the Democrats and Republicans. That's all it is. It did nothing for us. They pretended to hurt each other. And CNN said the Democrats won, Fox said the Republicans won, and all it was is the American people lost.
Yeah, you know, what's amazing about that process, too, is they use the servicemen as the way to excuse the compromise. They you know, the Democrats, Obama, they say, oh, gee, we're not going to let the, you guys fund the servicemen and their families, you know, while this budget battle's going on. If you don't agree with us to sign the budget, you know, then they're not going to get paid. And so then the Republicans, I think, use that as the excuse to go along with the Democrats, because, you know, if that was really an issue, why don't they just make a resolution on both sides of the table that they're going to get paid and move on in the budget? Instead, what they did was they used it as a chip for an excuse on both sides of the aisle to get out of doing what they needed to do.
Exactly. And how many congressmen or senators or people in the White House have actually said anything like, look, we need to make some drastic cuts, and I'm going to start with me, and I'm cutting my own salary 50%. Most of those people are already millionaires. They don't even need the money. Barack Obama sure doesn't need the money. John McCain sure doesn't need the money. And yet none of them are standing up and showing some real leadership and saying, look, I'm going to cut my salary and give it back to the general fund and try to have everybody else follow my example, and we're going to start cutting spending, beginning with our exorbitant salaries and retirement plans. But you don't have any real leadership like that except for Ron Paul
and Rand Paul. And then, yeah, and I was going to say, we have a bunch of poser Tea Partiers also, and they've got to show their true colors on that Patriot Act vote. People,
Michelle Bachmann included.
Right, that's what that Michelle's the key, because
Marco Rubio.
Right,
and these people still claiming to be Tea Partiers, and they vote to extend the Patriot Act, which is the most unconstitutional law passed by Congress in the last 50 years.
Exactly, and that's what I always try to say when I talk to maybe the, I guess, and you call them neocons, because I say, why don't you guys like Obama? Because he kept us in Iraq. He expanded the war in Afghanistan, getting us the war in Libya and Pakistan. He re-signed the Bush tax cuts. He re-signed the Patriot Act. These are all things Bush did. I mean, they should love him. Right?
The only thing that Obama did, actually, that was more than Bush was he started spending a lot more money. You know, the thing what they want to keep doing is it's all about the Republicans against the Democrats, right. The blacks against the whites, the gays against the straights, the unions against the people. It's as long as they keep us all fighting amongst ourselves, then we don't notice what's really going on in what they should be doing with the banking, with the money, with the Congress, you know, taking back our right. Constitution. And it's just sickening after a while.
And then when you bring up people
I'll tell
like,
you another ruse that they're trying to keep us occupied with is the Barack Obama birth certificate thing. That's a waste of time. Let me tell you that right now. I'm not saying it doesn't have any validity, but it's a waste of time. It's like saying, well, we're sinking on the Titanic, but we want to know where Captain Smith is from.
Right.
You know, we're sinking and we're on the Titanic. I'm not really too worried. Barack Obama is a symptom of the problem. He is not the problem. And we have allowed this to go so far. We have one solution, and I'm going to still say this. The immediate threat is just as you guys have said. It's the economy, and it's the UN, and it's the federal government. And now where do we go for the solution? And the solution is state sovereignty. There's not anything that the federal government is doing to us or that these lying politician criminals in Washington, D.C. are trying to do to us and stabbing us in the back over and over. All of this can be stopped at the county and state level.
I think what you're saying, and I think the essence of what you just said, is that we need to become self-reliant, period, like we used to be in the days of our founding and until just the last recent, you know, few decades that we become so dependent on government and Social Security and everything else. We need to come back to the local economies, our states, our counties, and become self-reliant. And that means we need to produce, we need to work, we need to do things in order to...
And you need to get the federal government out of the way.
Get the federal government out of the way. Get our food stored. You know, quit using their money. Go back to an honest money system. And like I say, it's about self-reliance, and that's where it's going.
And my favorite quote that you said in the Rise of the Republic, I mean, do you really believe the 13 colonies are going to form this federal government that can just turn around and tell them what to do? And I think, yes. I mean, it's just that's just it. That's so blatant, and that's... And that's the key, and people, and it's a shame because we have people like Ron Paul that are true statesmen, that are true patriots, right. that really care about the Constitution, but then you hear nothing about them on Fox, hear nothing about, you know, oh, what Republican are they going to have? They won't even bring Ron Paul's name up, even though he won CPAC. And
well, there is one guy on Fox that does, and that's Judge
Napolitano, and he's the only man that I'll watch on Fox. And yeah, that's true. And he's
had
great.
Me on four times, and he's trying to get me on this week. So
well,
Judge Napolitano makes no apology about supporting the Constitution.
Right.
I've got to run. I'm going to head into some mountains here, and my phone's going to go dead.
Hey, it was great talking to you, Sheriff Matt.
Hey, Sheriff, I'm going to call you up, and we'll talk about having you come up to Redding soon.
Let's do it. I really want to. I love Redding, and we need to come back, and, yeah, we need to make this happen.
Because definitely here is a county that's on your side.
Yeah, come on up, and we'll serve you up some tea.
Hey, sounds great. Thanks,
all right,
guys.
Sheriff Mack, thank you. All right, well, that was Sheriff Mack, and he tells it like it is, that's for sure. He doesn't want to talk, you know, doesn't want to be Mr. Doom and Gloom, but sometimes you need that. You need somebody that's going to tell it how straight.
The truth.
Right.
The truth.
If I don't know that there's somebody right around the corner that's trying to beat everybody up and somebody doesn't come and tell me, I'm going to go walk into that. You know, we want somebody that's going to tell us. So we have 2 minutes left. Mark.
I got a couple more quotes. I mean, we got quotes we could do forever. I think if we give enough quotes, then maybe people will see that, you know, this is the real deal. This is John Maynard Keynes, who seems to be the big guy up on the campus right now up in Washington, D.C. It says he was the chief architect of our current fiat paper money system, by the way. By a continuing process of inflation, governments can confiscate secretly and unobserved important parts of the wealth of their citizens. Government, if government should refrain from regulation, the worthlessness of the money becomes apparent, and the fraud upon the public can be concealed no longer. Interesting.
Oh yeah, I have a great one that this is where you know, Fox doesn't get me, because they always say I'd rather give up a couple freedoms for my safety. Well, let's see what Benjamin Franklin has to say. They that can give up essential liberty to attain a little temporary safety deserve liberty nor safety.
Okay, so, I got one quick one here.
We're about to go.
John F. Kennedy, the great free nations of the world must take control of our monetary problems if these problems are not to take control of us.
Well, so, I mean, anybody, okay, Abraham Lincoln, John Kennedy, anybody that seems to speak out against them, what happens? And that's another thing that's pretty bad. Oh, so we have thank a couple sponsors. Advanced Soil Stabilization. They're using Technisoil for dust control on roads, driveways, and parking lots, also installing Crestone driveways. Call Todd Sykes for more information at 530-549-4801. Advanced Soil is green-friendly and limits dust, and they're locally owned. So go ahead and grab them, but also stop by the Tea Party tomorrow, because, I mean, if you want to get involved, that's the best way to get involved. So, okay, we have 10 seconds left, but
6 p.m., Bonneview Baptist.
All right, I want to thank Mark. I want to thank Sheriff Mack. I want to thank all the listeners. You guys have a great night.
We are building up the new world. Do not sit idly by. Do not remain neutral. Do not rely on this broadcast alone. We are only as strong as our signal. There is a war going on for your mind. If you are thinking, you are winning. Resistance is victory. Defeat is impossible. Your weapons are already in hand. Reach within you and find the means by which to gain your freedom. Fight with tools. Your fate and that of everyone you know depends on it.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. Severe weather and another threat of tornadoes, this time in Texas.
Any of these storms could produce damaging tornadoes, so we're going to keep an eye on that.
That's Christopher Daniels of the National Weather Service in San Angelo, Texas. A tornado was confirmed this afternoon, touching down near Abilene. No damage or injuries reported. The line of severe storms tonight stretching from North Texas into eastern Oklahoma and parts of western Arkansas, spreading tomorrow into the Ohio River Valley. And that means more threatening weather for Missouri, where one man was killed being swept into floodwater Saturday. The miner, apparently buried 9 days ago in a silver mine in northern Idaho, is now presumed to be dead.
We've been hoping for a miracle for more than a week, but have now informed Larry Merrick's family we believe hope for his survival is gone.
Hecla Mining Company President Phil Baker in a recorded video statement, when the mine caved in, Merrick was a mile underground. His brother was nearby and got out unharmed.